May the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Over the last 5 weeks, we have been spending time with Jesus and his followers in the temple precincts as he is being challenged by the authorities. It all began when Jesus made his triumphal entry into the city and made his way to the temple, where he immediately drove out all of the people who were buying and selling and turned the tables of the money changers. Since that time, it has been a back and forth battle of the minds between Jesus and the religious and civic authorities, beginning with the temple leaders challenging Jesus about what authority he has in doing all the things that he has done. All this has taken place over a 2-day period while Jesus was in the temple, and our gospel story today is the very last question a group of religious leaders have for Jesus. The duels have consisted largely of the authorities trying to test Jesus' knowledge and trying to trap him and to discredit him to the crowds. But they have been unable to do so, and in many cases, Jesus has shown them that he does have the authority and the knowledge to do what he has been doing over the last 3 years. So as the leadership continues to test Jesus, one of the Pharisees comes and asks the question, which of the commandments is the greatest? Now it was common exercise among the religious scholars of the day to debate among themselves which of the 613 commandments in the law is the greatest. Meaning, which commandment is the one that sums up the essence of the whole law, or can serve as a hub around which the other commandments revolve around? The Shema, or listen, figures largely in Jewish liturgies and life. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This comes from Deuteronomy 6:5. And is recited by many Jewish people even today, every day of their life, as it is seen as being the hub around which your whole life should be centered. Love your neighbor as yourself comes from Leviticus 19:18, also seems to have a reputation around which all other commandments revolve around. Two different rabbis who taught around the time that Jesus spoke taught about this command being the greatest principle of the Torah or law. Rabbi Hillel once paraphrased this commandment by saying, "Whatever is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That is all of the Torah. The rest is just commentary." Jesus couples these verses together and asserts, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The context of Leviticus 19 is worth looking into because it sums up all of the commands in this part of Leviticus and talks about the love Jesus is referring to. The verses just before the one Jesus quotes commands the people not to harvest everything from the fields so that the impoverished and the immigrants have something to eat, and to refrain from dishonesty, stealing, mistreating the disabled, corruption, slander, hatred, and finally, in verse 18, vengeance itself. It says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Likewise, the context of Deuteronomy 6:5 is worth remembering. Here, the love God commands is to be manifested in keeping all of God's decrees and commandments so that your days may be long. That is, the law is given not as an arbitrary list of thou shalt and thou shalt not, but rather as a guide for life, living a good life, a communal life in the world around you. What turns out to be the last question for Jesus from opponents is, appropriately enough, the ultimate question. Teacher, which command is the greatest? The question is asked explicitly to test Jesus, to see if his knowledge and judgment are up to snuff. And Jesus responds by citing the two commands, one from Deuteronomy and one from Leviticus. A wise, insightful, and learned response. Matthew is consistently concerned with presenting Jesus as an Orthodox Jew, and accordingly, Jesus' answers to the question demonstrates his standing as a brilliant rabbi with a deep knowledge of the tradition and scripture. Indeed, the fact that his opponents don't respond indicates that they find Jesus' answer both conventional and satisfactory. In short, Jesus has passed the test. Many of us have heard Jesus sum up the law with this twofold command to love God and your neighbor. It is one of the most familiar teachings of Jesus. However, far less familiar is just what sort of love Jesus has in mind. This love is a love that looks like listening, keeping God's commandments for the sake of personal and communal well-being. It is also a love that looks like kindness, generosity, and respect for our neighbors. And in particular, it looks like avoiding all claims to vengeance and bearing grudges. As a bloody, heartbreaking war continues in Israel and Gaza, this kind of love is well worth understanding. How might we sum up the first of these two forms of love? With the word shema, or listen. Remember that Jesus is evoking the idea of keeping the law not as a catalog of duties, but as a gift from God given to us, so that we can live long in the land. And how might we sum up the second? With the word forgive. Remembering that Jesus is invoking the merciful spirit of Leviticus 19 in general, and the call to avoid all forms of vengeance and grudge bearing in particular, Jesus is commanding us to listen and to forgive. For Jesus, the whole law, and indeed the whole world, hangs on these two kinds of love. And for us, this means that manifesting such love isn't just another task on our to-do list. It should be the underlying organizing mission of our entire lives. And the twin lenses through which we see the whole Bible and the whole world around us. The good news of the gospel this week is that God has made us to love in these ways. And the challenge of the gospel this week is to do so with clarity and commitment, day in and day out, so that our lives embody and proclaim these twofold love of God and of our neighbor.